You're listening to a replay of Zach and Evan on Z Radio Live.
Welcome back into Z Radio Live. This is Zach and Evan you're listening to right now. Special guest on the line, an author of something that a lot of people like to do. Well, you like to go out to Las Vegas sometimes. You like to hang out with your buddies. And what do you like to do when you go to these places and hang out with your friends? You like to play poker. And as this guy...
By the way, the meme they call it is Ponker.
Ponker.
That's
Poker,
the meme is
hardly knower. Well, we have the author of the book, Mastering Poker Math. He's going to teach us his ways. It's Chuck Clayton. Chuck, how's it going today?
Great. Thank you very much, Zach and Evan, for having me on.
Yeah, anytime.
No problem.
So tell us about what this poker math is. You know, I mean, I know the game of poker. I think many people do. But what is poker math?
Poker math in a nutshell is basically, well, you have 52 cards. Out of those 52 cards, there's actually 1,326 hands, but only 169 unique hands. And let's say, the example I always like to give is, well, have you guys played poker, first of all?
I have, yes.
I'm terrible at it, but I do.
Okay.
I'm the worst. I'm a roulette guy, but like okay.
Amount of work for me as possible is what you like to say.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I can do magic tricks with playing cards. I mean, is that something that involves
That's
poker?
Not poker.
That like, it's not poker. Poker? Okay.
Well, the one I give is when I can't see you guys, distinguishing between the names, we'll get that in a second. But on the, if you're in early position and you're playing poker, mm-hmm. and you have an ace and a small card, let's say an ace three or an ace four or ace six or something, but it's unsuited, okay? Because suited mm-hmm. has a different matter. For a lot of people in early position, let's say what's called under the gun, which is right past the big blind, mm-hmm. many people will bet that, okay? Or call a bet on that and so forth. The problem is if, let's say, an ace hits a flop, are you ahead or not? Mm. A lot of people would think, possibly. What? Just out of a wild guess, what do you think the probability of somebody else having an ace at the table when you have an ace at a nine-person table?
I think you should go first, Evan, and I'll give my
answer. At a nine-person table?
Yes.
Yeah. Another person. I would say it's pretty high. I mean, if this is before the flop, right? So
yes.
This is just okay. So you have one ace. I mean, I would
say
probably 70%.
I'm going to say 20.
Awesome, Evan.
Really?
That's awesome. It's actually 69%.
See, I was going to guess I was going to guess 25%, but
no. You're at a nine-person table, Zach, and you have one ace out that you know of, and there's four aces in the deck. Nine other people are getting hands too of their cards, so for sure there's going to be at least a few, if not all, the aces out there.
Chuck, if Evan is a poker king at the end of this, I'll pay you something. I promise.
But it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Well, you're absolutely thinking about it correctly, and that's all that poker math is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it correctly in the sense that with three aces out, there's nine people in the hand. That means 18 cards have dealt out. You have two of them, and you have an ace, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that also means 16 other cards are out there. What's the probability of one of those three aces being in there? So these are the type of numbers that I've done that is more advanced than a lot of the other things. A lot of the most basic thing, Zach, for example,
yeah.
if you're playing poker, one of the biggest things is counting your outs. For example, let's say you have a four, five, and a six, seven hits the flop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Either a three or an eight will give you a straight, okay?
Okay.
Now, that's four cards each, so that's eight cards. The rule of two says the probability of getting that is 16%, okay, for the next card. And the reason it is, the rule of two, it works so well because there are 100, there's 52 cards, and 52 goes into 100 approximately twice, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not exact, but it's close enough at the tables.
Wow.
And that's the type of thing that allows you to have information. Well, that's fine. So it's 16%. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if a bet is out there, and let's say the pot is 1,000 right now, okay?
Yeah.
Chips. And it costs you 1500, I'm sorry, if it costs you 150 to make a call, and you have enough chips in your stack, there's all sorts of things, okay? But you have enough chips in your stack. If you make the call, the probability, if you make 15%, there's a 16% probability of hitting. So you're actually making a good bet in the long run. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. That, you put yourself in that position. That's perfect if you want to.
I have a question for you, actually. So I you know, do casinos appreciate poker math? Like, is that something that they're okay with somebody doing at the table? Or is it kind of looked at as like, you know, trying to predict the next card in a sense at a table?
I smile because in the book Bringing Down the House, which is about guys that went out to Vegas.
Yeah.
And they went in blackjack and they were able to count cards and they predicted probabilities in the future in order to establish bets by raising and lowering bets. Now, a lot of casinos, as you know, they've gone to multiple decks. They've gone to card shuffling after every hand and everything else to confuse these guys. But that's 21 or blackjack, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
In poker, totally different. The house is always going to make money because they have, if you go into a tournament, then you pay a fee to get in the tournament. Or you pay at a casino, you pay a rake. When you pay I live in Texas, so I play at the card clubs. They can't have a rake or that, but they do charge you for the tournament. Okay. Mm-hmm. And part of the fee is access to the club. So you're actually, I like to play, I'm a tournament player. So when I go in a tournament, let's say I pay $200 for a tournament, I pay $40 to the club. Mm-hmm. So they don't care what you use, obviously. Okay. They make their money.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have their upfront cash. They're not worried about, you know, it's not like you're going up to a table in Las Vegas and, you know, you haven't put anything up there before. They know they have you at some point. They have money from you. They're not really worried about anything after that between the
Correct.
Two. Yeah.
Correct.
And you guys, you have a book out. You have a book out on Amazon. It's called Mastering Poker Math. And you also have an online course, too. Do you consider this a good course for people who are also professionals in poker, or do you consider this more of like somebody who's a beginner trying to get into the sport and trying to learn, I guess, more of a one up against other poker players?
Well, that's a great feed in line because it's actually, I wrote the book for beginners to advanced players. Now, that being said, a lot of advanced players, poker is a game of self-delusion like I've never seen before. And I love games and I love sports and everything else. But people will tend to lean towards, they think they're better than they are. And the reason for that is because the variability in the cards, which I'll get into in a little bit if you want me to. But right now, as far as the pros and everything, they use the math, but they don't use it to a level that they should be. Okay. And that's what I've been promoting. And when I say that I would say the math is about 40% of the game. And they're using actually artificial intelligence today. They're also using Game Theory Optimal. The artificial intelligence program, as a matter of fact, has actually beaten six of the top world players. And computer programs use mathematics and patterns, okay? Mm-hmm. So to give you an idea how important the math really is, and there's a book that I read recently, a while back, but it was very powerful. In a guy named Andy Beal went up against the top pros in the world in the early 2000s. And Doyle Brunson, Phil Ivey, a bunch of the other guys and women. And he ended up becoming one of the top players in the world. One of the things that he said in his book is that the players, you know, of course they were good at mixing up their play and, you know, all sorts of things. But one of the things that they were weak on was the pot odds, which is amazing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in answer to your question, yes, it could help almost anybody. And they're really pros, you know, you sort through the stuff that they already know, and then you just go right to the mathematics. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you come up with all this stuff? Like, how did you think up this poker math? Like, how did you envision this, I guess, in a sense? Or has it always been there, but just no one really knows about it?
It's kind of no one really knows about it. Well, before I tell you a story, have you seen the movie Moneyball?
Yes, I actually watched that again, like literally 2 days ago. So I'm very fresh on it. So this
okay.
is
okay.
So you were prepared for this. Let me tell you. This was the question you were asking him for. Sorry, go.
Yeah, they just put it back on Netflix like this past week. So
oh, did they really? Okay. Yeah. I have not seen it, but yeah, go ahead.
Moneyball. Do you remember in the movie that this hadn't been done for like 8 decades or so, and they finally came in. Brad Pitt was a star in the movie. And he meets the statistician from Yale, and they put together the numbers. And instead of paying players, they're paying for the wins, okay? And then backing off by getting the home runs and getting the base hits and all this other stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're putting guys on base, yeah.
86 years, they are, you know, how many years has baseball been around? 100 years or so, okay? And it's not been used. That's when, because I was scratching my head, because you know, my background, I'm an engineer. You know, I could argue whether I'm really sharp or not. Okay. I could give a great argument either way, but that's another story. But I, when I looked at it, in baseball, it hadn't been done, and in poker, it hasn't been done until the stuff that I'm putting out. Mm-hmm. Now that's a bold statement, but, the first book that I have has a lot of the stuff. And I actually came out with a second one, and if you got a minute or two, I'll tell you the whole story behind it.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
In 2004, my sister's daughter was diagnosed with glioma, which is a brainstem cancer. And, I had met somebody, a lady called, from the International Cancer Advocacy Network that runs it, Marsha Horn, phenomenal human being and a very close friend of mine for many years. And I had met her through the National Speakers Association. The president at the time had told me about her. And when they came to the Hail Mary move to try to help my sister's daughter, the International Cancer Advocacy Network, at the time it had a different name, but that's what it's called today. It came in and tried to help, you know, with a trial program. Unfortunately, my sister's daughter died, but I continued to help the charity because they were so great. And it's nice to give back, as you guys both know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So what I did was, I'd go to some meetings and things, but I'm an action kind of person. Okay. I like being involved. And so I did tango dancing and in 2012, I put together a big, event, with tango dancing to raise money for the charity, very successful. And again, in 2014, very successful. This was in Tucson, Arizona, moved out here to Texas. A friend of mine actually back from Tucson mentioned that she had done a charity event, with a casino night. So I said, what the heck? let's do this. I'd kept hearing the same name, Lance Clark, and I finally ended up meeting him and we got along really well. And he said, well, as long as you can do a casino night, why don't you do a poker tournament?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that would make complete sense. 100%.
Yeah. Why not? You know, what the heck? You know,
it's in the family.
Yeah. See, my background's engineering. I've been a mechanical design development engineer, systems engineer, quality engineer, and I worked on everything from the ground support equipment, the space shuttle, to computers, to all sorts of things. So I'm not, you know, challenges are fun for me. Okay. They get a little crazy at times, but what the heck, you know? So my background's mathematics and some business, and so forth. So, yeah. So anyway, I put it together with, and had friends, you know, some people help out and again, very successful. So I watched some videos on Daniel Negreanu, one of the top players in the world. And I then I read a book and another one. And I just got so, I couldn't get enough. And at the end of the, after the event was, you know, over, I still loved the game. So I started playing in one of the local leagues, Texas Fantasy Poker League at the time. And I had a blast and went out and played a tremendous amount, read a bunch of books. And over time, I actually did a little course on Udemy, but the math kept popping up and I went, and people kept saying the same thing at the tables. I hate pocket jacks. I hate pocket kings. Every time I have pocket kings, somebody gets pocket aces, and or an ace hits a flop. And so I did the mathematics, and I found out, yeah, there's a good reason to hate pocket jacks. There is a 62% probability if an ace, king, or and queen have been dealt to three other people at a table, then an ace, king, or queen will hit the flop.
Wow.
Okay? So that's, you know, that's a reason. And people go crazy with pocket jacks, and they shove their whole stack in, then they lose. They don't remember the fact they didn't play it right. They just remember they lost. Yeah. But with pocket kings, for example, it's 25% probability if somebody else has been dealt a pocket ace, the one's going to hit the flop, which is higher than what we might think. But it happens, and I call it the great white shark effect. As you see on, well, if you look at the cover of my book, it's got a great white shark fin that I actually took that picture back in 2001. And a great white shark is an amazing creature. I've seen many sharks, and the first time you see a great white, you never forget it. It's the same thing when you get a bad beat.
Yep.
You just remember the bad beats. You know, oh, I got beat by an ace. I got beat on the river.
Exactly.
I just remember losing all my money. That's just, yeah. I mean, that's just how I play, but
yeah. Zach just goes all in every hand and hopes for the best.
Well, that's called geometric progression, and you can do quite well as long as you keep winning.
Absolutely. The book you can get on Amazon today is called Mastering Poker Math. Chuck Clayton is the author. Chuck, thanks for stopping by with us. Great talk, and hopefully everyone can pick it up and make every poker game a little bit more challenging for everyone else now that they understand the poker math.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm coming up with a second book. That's going to take it to a whole new level.
Nice.
And that's for intermediate to advanced players. That'll be coming out early next year.
What's that going to be called?
That'll be Mastering Poker Math 2.
Oh, perfect.
The sequel.
Easy title.
Chuck, thanks so much for hopping on here on Zach and Evan. We'll be right back with much more of Zach and Evan on Z Radio Live.
Miss the show? Catch Zach and Evan every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Z Radio Live.